To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I bring you free science fiction audio adventure every week on this podcast, reading from my books, and we've got Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest underway. No worries if you haven't listened yet, because I can fill you in on the details, and that's what I'm about to do. So you can listen now. Our story takes place in about 2139. Alibi Jones is a mediator for the Solar Alliance. Or at least he was. Got himself in some trouble, and now he's working in a different part of the Solar Alliance Interplanetary Force. No longer in the Mediation Corps, he's now in Covert Ops. And he and his Covert Ops team are on the planet Argentium. They're there for... well, two reasons now, originally just for one reason. Alibi and his associate Kat, who is actually a cat-like alien, a Dakur. Alibi and Kat are sneaking back into Tony Yang's estate. Tony Yang is a crime lord on Argentium. They're sneaking in to see about rescuing Alibi's old friend Krish, who is a Solar Alliance scientist who was kidnapped by Yang. That was the new additional thing they have to do. Because originally they were just here to try to steal back, or, well, kind of steal for the first time, an alien power source. Yang got his hands on an alien power source, so they plan on liberating that from him as well. We're going to join Alibi and Kat as they creep through the darkness into, hopefully into, Yang's mansion, as we get into Chapter 11 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, coming up next on Glow in the Dark Radio. First, a little bit of news. Comixology is holding an indie superhero sale, and they're including introducing Red Hot. I don't think they realized that the 3-in-1 for $2.99 was a graphic novel, because they've lumped it in with the single issues. Doesn't really matter, though. The $2.99 Red Hot graphic novel is now just 99 cents. That's through October 1st at Comixology. There are links in the show notes, or... just go to Comixology.com and look for Glow in the Dark Radio. They have that guided view, too, which is a really cool way to read comics on tablets and phones. And I wanted to remind you to check out my articles over at Medium.com. I've been posting some stuff, some nonfiction at Medium. The newest one is on 12 years of podcasting and this show, as September marks 12 years for Glow in the Dark Radio. As a podcast. Again, I've got the link in the show notes, or just look me up at Medium. Mike Luoma. L-U-O-M-A. Just a little bit of news. Up next, I've got Chapter 11 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest.
What the hell is this, the wonderful Billy Flynn?
Just some podcast that's supposed to be geeky. Podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Did you try it?
I'm not going to try it. You try it.
Screw that noise. I'm not going to try it. Hey, Flynnstress, let's get Mikey.
Do you mean critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason, who hosts the Beer Powered Time Machine podcast?
Yeah.
But he won't listen. He hates everything.
Hi, I'm critically acclaimed comedy rock star Mikey Mason. I don't often listen to podcasts, but when I do, make mine Geek Radio Daily.
Hey man, that's a different promo.
Between love and madness lies Geek Radio Daily.
That's kind of accurate.
There are some things money can't buy.
GRD is free online.
Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Geek Radio Daily.
We'll take it.
Geek Radio Daily. All the geek without the weight. GeekRadioDaily.com.
Now here's Chapter 11 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi and Cat continued to parallel the track of the transport as it rolled through the dark up to the manor. The vehicle headed towards the loading dock. As it pulled in, Alibi and Cat walked up between two other vehicles that were already parked and unloading. "Remember, Cat," Alibi said, "act like you know what you're doing. If you can, pick up something and carry it with you. Follow me in." Alibi walked to the loading dock and hopped up. He turned and helped Cat climb up onto the dock. They walked through the crowd of workers unloading big cargoes from the earlier arrivals. A crate caught Alibi's eye, and he walked over to it. He gestured for Cat to join him. They pushed their crate into the line of cargo heading inside the manor and walked in with the rest of the grunts bringing in the delivery. "So far, so good." Uh-oh. Alibi saw the cook he'd offloaded with earlier walk into the corridor. He turned his face away fast as he could, hoping the man wouldn't see him. Alibi kept his gaze fixed on the crate as they passed the cook in the hallway.
"Hope he doesn't recognize me."
He didn't seem to. Alibi breathed a little easier as they made their way down the hall unmolested.
"This cargo must not be as valuable as our lobster, or doesn't require refrigeration."
They were being directed to a different storage section entirely.
"Stay right next to me, Cat, to be sure the wand's field covers you, too," Alibi reminded the dockor.
Then he pushed the crate to the side of the hallway, partially blocking the entrance to a side corridor. "Hey!" the guy pushing the crate behind them yelled.
"Sorry, gotta rest a minute. This sucker's heavy," Alibi said to him. "Go around."
The guy gave Alibi a dirty look.
"Candy ass," he said.
Alibi shrugged. The guy turned back to his crate and pushed it past theirs. Soon the rest of the line was going past. Alibi and Cat slinked around their crate. Using it for cover, they ducked down the side hallway, away from the line of offloading cargo. Once out of sight, Alibi pulled out the wand and looked up the manor plans. There was an elevator near them, if he remembered correctly. He found it on the plans. To Alibi's pleasant surprise, Krisha's mods actually let him call it. They tensed as they waited for the car to arrive, ready for confrontation, although they were unarmed. The elevator doors opened on an empty car. They looked at each other, surprised by their good fortune. Alibi gestured for Cat to go ahead and followed him in. Using the wand, Alibi told the elevator to go down to the second floor below ground, where Krish was being held. They pressed themselves against the wall of the car as the doors opened. Nothing. Evidently, the nullifier was working. Their presence seemed to have gone undetected. "Not too far now," Alibi said. They exited, looked around. They were in a long, windowless hallway, doors on opposite sides every few meters. No one else was in the corridor. Alibi led Cat down to a branching hallway. A short jog, and they were in front of the door behind which Alibi hoped to find Krish and the power source. Locked. Alibi called up Krish's program pack again to see if he could unlock it. The door slid open. They were greeted by a, "Hey!" Alibi felt Cat slip past him. Cat flashed across the room and onto the back of the guard who'd made the noise. Alibi knew he couldn't bring a weapon into the manor. Even with the field nullifier, it was too risky. Weapons were so easily detected. He'd hoped to get one off of a guard, but the opportunity hadn't presented itself yet. Cat, however, had built-in weapons, vestigial claws most dakur kept retracted. The guard called out again, but his cry became a gurgle as his throat was clawed open from behind. As he staggered, trying to throw off Cat, the dakur reached around again and raked his claws across the man's face, leaving four rough-gouged furrows welling up with blood. Flailing, the man fell to his knees. He collapsed onto his stomach with Cat on his back. Alibi strode up and grabbed the man's blaster. Cat jumped off. Alibi leveled a single shot at the back of the man's head.
Flash!
The body went limp. Alibi listened for alarms. Still quiet.
"Alibi Jones?"
Krish said, breaking the silence as he emerged from the shadows.
"And Kit?"
"Not Kit," Alibi said. "His brother, Katrafunler Grundler. Let's us call him Cat."
"Cat? Hello,"
Krish said.
"Katrafunler Grundler. I'm Dr. Krishnamurti. I let them call me Krish."
"Hello, Krish," Cat said.
Now that the introductions are over, Alibi said, we've got to get you and that power source out of here.
Ah, yes, the power cell, over here, Krish said.
He led Alibi and Kat over to a metal lab table. The power cell was a small chrome ball, about the size of a golf ball, floating over the table inside of a clear box.
There she is! They expected me to tell them how to plug it in, Krish said. Make it work! I asked them where their Devrisium power interfaces were. They had no idea.
Can we just, carry it? Alibi asked. In that box, like that?
Yes, sure, Krish said. It's not doing anything right now. It's the suspension field inside the box that has it floating, even. Not its own power.
He reached over and grabbed the box, lifting it up off the table.
I can even carry it.
Good, you do that, Alibi said. The lights in the room turned red. Alarms began to sound. Stay quiet, Alibi said to Kat and Krish. I don't think we set this off. Don't know what caused it, but I don't think it was us.
Wonder if it was Emily and Brisby.
After about 2 minutes, the alarms stopped sounding, but the lighting remained emergency red. I think we better wait this out, Alibi said. Krish, put the box back on the table. Kat, let's see if we can't get the dead guy out of sight somehow. Alibi and Kat dragged the body back behind the lab table, semi out of sight. Krish put the power cell back. They waited. The lighting shifted back to normal white light. In the regular lighting, a puddle of blood on the floor was a bit more obvious. Alibi wondered if they should try to clean it up. The room's door opened.
Yang said to have him stay here with the scientists for now, until the safe ships clear off,
a voice said in the hall. Brisby and Emily were pushed into the room. Alibi and Kat scrambled to the sides, trying to stay out of sight as long as they could and find a good place to attack from. Alibi brought his borrowed blaster down level with the doorway as one of Yang's security guards walked through it.
Flash!
Alibi's shot seared the man's skull in half, burning the top clean away. He dropped. Alibi looked down at the blaster. It was a lot more powerful than the ones they used inside the Solar Alliance.
Flash!
Someone shot at him from the hallway. Alibi ducked and rolled for cover next to the door. He saw a gun, an arm, and the side of a head start to lean through to look inside the room, and took aim.
Flash!
The blast burned away the man's arm, the blaster, the side of his skull, and some of his face. The victim pitched backwards to the floor. Alibi jumped over to the doorway where the two fell. Alibi? Emily asked. Yep, he said. He tried to pry the surviving blaster out of the hands of the first guard, worked it free. He looked up and down the hall, making sure it was empty, before heading back inside the room. Hello, he said as he reached Emily. He went to hand her the blaster, before seeing she had manacles on her wrists. Kind of hard to shoot, she said, holding out her bound hands. Yang said it was for our own protection. Some enemies of his were attacking, he said. Got really paranoid. Wanted to lock us away.
Good to see you, Brisby said.
Were there just those two guards with you? Alibi asked. Emily nodded. Hold on, Alibi said. Hold out your hands. Brisby and Emily held out their bound wrists towards Alibi. He looked at the blasters in his hands.
That's not going to work. Can't blast them off. Not without taking off their hands and arms, too. Maybe the wand's mods can help.
He put down one of the blasters, brought out the wand, and keyed through Krish's security package upgrade to see if he could get their locks open. Krish, can this unlock their manacles? Does it have an override for them? Alibi asked, realizing he had the program source with him right there. He'd almost forgotten he could ask. Yes, Krish said. He trundled over to Alibi and stretched out his hand for the wand. Alibi gave it to him. Krish pressed a couple of keys and the manacles popped open on both Brisby and Emily.
Ha! Huh, Yang had no idea what he was doing when he brought me in under his roof.
Alibi handed Emily a blaster, then took his wand back from Krish.
What about me? Brisby asked. Don't I get a blaster?
Kill a guard, get a blaster, Alibi said. Easy as pie. Brisby frowned. We soon may have plenty of chances to get you a gun, Brisby, Alibi said. Careful what you wish for. Hey, Krish, how large a field does this field nullifier mod create? Krish smiled. He remained silent, thinking. Krish?
About 10 meters, he said. Give or take.
Weird.
Alibi felt like Krish was lying to him. But why would he lie about the size of the field? So it can surround all of us if we stick close together? Yes, Krish said. It should work as well for us getting out as it did getting you and Kat in. I hope. Alibi hoped Krish wasn't exaggerating about the field. Okay, let's go then. Krish, grab the power cell. We'll take the elevator Kat and I came down on. It's big enough for us all. Alibi led Kat, Brisby, Krish, and Emily down the hallway towards the main corridor and the elevator. As they approached the end of their hall, Alibi motioned to the others to get back against the wall. Emily kept armed watch behind them as Alibi inched up to glance around the corner into the main corridor.
Fwash!
Alibi ducked back. At least one of Yang's guards was near the elevator. Alibi saw him just before he fired. Trying to target from that memory, Alibi leaned out to shoot back.
Fwash!
A grunt came from around the corner as Alibi pulled back around. Alibi dared another glance. The guard was grabbing his shoulder. Alibi brought the blaster up again.
Fwash!
The guard flew backwards down the hall, half the top of his torso burnt away. Alibi glanced back and forth. The rest of the corridor was empty. He motioned for the others to follow him, out around the corner to the elevator. Luck was with them. The elevator car was on their floor. The doors opened. Alibi turned to hurry the others in past him. Brisby came up last, having stopped to grab the guard's blaster. Alibi kept his back against the elevator door, keeping it open. Blaster in his right hand, the wand in the other. Go, Alibi said. Move it, come on. Krish and Kat slipped past him. Emily jumped through. Brisby motioned for Alibi to go ahead of him. No, you go, Alibi said.
After you, Brisby said.
Go, Alibi repeated. The two men moved simultaneously, jamming each other in the doorway. Damn it, Brisby! Alibi cursed. A jerk of his shoulder and Brisby tumbled into the elevator ahead of him. Alibi stumbled, his feet flying out from under him as he twisted and dropped. He spread his arms to break his fall. Kat tried to catch him as the elevator doors slid shut. Alibi's left hand was still in the track of the elevator doors below their sensors.
Crunch!
That was Chapter 11 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Crunch? That can't be good. You have to come back next week, find out how Alibi's hand is doing. Hey, at least the gang's back together, though, huh? Yeah. Ouch. Chapter 12 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest will be coming our way next time on Glow in the Dark Radio. Wanted to remind you, there is a sale going on at Comixology on indie superheroes, and Introducing Red Hot is a part of that. So go to Comixology and look up Glow in the Dark Radio. Get yourself cheap Red Hot. 99 cents for the graphic novel, which is usually $2.99. And be sure to check out my stuff at Medium.com. I've been posting nonfiction there, some history pieces, some comic book history, and most recently, my 12 years of podcasting article. Talking about this show. 12 years this month. Again, that's at Medium.com. And for both the Comixology and the Medium stuff, you can find the links in the show notes. That is all for this week. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.